Hey everybody, it's Boss Barrel Radio, episode 167. God, I can't believe it's been that many. I am Griff Hoffman, and my co-hosts this week, as usual, are Jeff Brewer.
Hey, cool cats. Welcome to another evening of the Midnight Jazz Hour.
And then we're going to toss it over to the tosser extraordinaire, James Scherer.
What do you like, Coltrane? Coldplay?
Cold Turkey.
Dave Matthews Band?
Because we got them in a mashup.
Coming at you with minimal commercial breaks.
Those giant steps were all yellow.
Speaking of the drive at five, we're going to try out a little something new this week. We're going to keep this podcast moving nice and lean. Before we start talking about what we've been playing, you guys got anything you want to talk about that's like not game related? Or you want to just jump right into the Vidya games?
I totaled my car last week, and now I have a new car that I'm getting tomorrow, and it's really cool. It's blue, and it's really blue.
Okay.
And that's the best part about it. It's blue.
I heard it was for lesbians.
Yep. It's a Subaru, so I am actually now a lesbian, and my bumper is just full of stickers. I actually have one about impeaching Bush, even though it's not at all relevant anymore.
Somebody's got to keep the dream alive.
There's a Cheney Vader one.
Fun fact that Shannon explained to me, in the 90s, Subaru did some market research, found out that lesbians were actually buying their cars, so they did a lot of really subtle, like, advertising to lesbians, but in, like, a really subtle 90s way, where they were like, be out with your Subaru.
That's really good, actually. Yeah. I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I'm pretty excited, but that's my big news. Jamie, tell me about anesthesiology.
It's cool. Sometimes...
Would you say it's a real snooze fest?
Oh!
Yes.
I call it my drug.
Sometimes I work for 45 minutes a day. Sometimes I work for no minutes a day, so it's been good.
How many tubes have you shoved down people's throats?
Like a lot. Like a lot.
That's all you do in anesthesiology from the sound of things.
You just do that and then you sit around.
Pretty
every anesthesiologist is really quick to say, you know, we don't just sit around and read books, you know. And then that's exactly what they do.
So it sounds like it's like the video production of the medical industry where you're like, work, 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 and then sit and let it encode for 5 hours.
Exactly. Unless something goes wrong and then you freak out.
Well, yeah, yeah. That sounds like an absolutely direct parallel. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. What about you, Griff? What you been up to?
Oh, jeez, I feel like I did something really cool recently, but I forgot. So, nothing, I guess.
Wow, lame-o.
Yeah, that was a good story, wasn't it?
Yep. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, anytime. My pleasure. It'll come to me later. I swear I did something really cool. Did I?
You bought us cool
did
shirts.
Did you have any poops recently?
We don't want to talk about that.
You did buy us awesome shirts. Sorry to cut you off there, Jamie. Griffin got me a D's Nuts shirt, and I tried to put it in my mouth, but
my shirt says Des Moines French for the Moines.
Oh, I was going to ask you guys, what is it like being 1 foot in 1 foot into the grave of 30 now? How do you feel getting closer to the big 3-0?
I'm going to be a doctor. I'm technically I'm going to be a doctor before I'm 30. By like one day.
Wow.
I'm very proud of that.
I am going to have a job. Hopefully, God willing, by age 30. I have it now, but hopefully I'll still have it.
Still retain it. I gotcha.
Yep.
Scary.
Yeah, does it feel weird? Like, I know, as somebody who's turning 30 very soon, I was like, oh man, 2008 wasn't that long ago. Oh no, it was. It's almost 10 years now. Shoot.
That's yeah, crazy.
It's not going to be weird until I try to hang out with someone or, like, relate to someone who is in their early 20s and they look at me like I'm an alien.
Oh.
And then I'll just be like, oh, God, what am I?
I totally understand that. I'm starting to look at people who are under 26, like, as confusingly young and misguided.
What do you think PAX, the entirety of PAX was for me? I was just oogling at these young people, wondering why they were here and why they look so strange.
Jamie, I'm going to give you a crash course so on YouTube. I'm going to give you a YouTube/Twitch crash course, which is just going to involve you sitting in front of a computer for, like, 25 hours. It's going to be really depressing, but you'll somehow enjoy it.
I enjoy PewDiePie now, but I somehow feel like that's like, that would be like the equivalent of an old person in the 60s saying they were really down with the monkeys.
I think it's more like your grandpa signing up for Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
He seems to have turned a corner, though. Like, I think he's upped his quality a little bit. He had a period of time where he seemed like he was really coasting, but you sent me a couple of his videos and they're actually kind of funny, so
yeah.
You know, whatevs. He's popular for a reason.
Exactly. That's a good point. It's really well edited. When I've watched it, there's lots of quick cuts, lots of dedication.
Yeah, and I think that he is aware of some of the shortcomings of his channel, and he's trying to like grow and not just be a, like, he's moving away from being a caricature, which is great when you're the most subscribed person on YouTube.
Because, absolutely,
yeah.
Actually,
you don't want that to be.
I was thinking about this recently and tying all things together. When I was listening to Easy Allies, the podcast you recommended, Jeff, with Kyle Bossman, it really made me think, like, yes, there's a cool new future for podcasting, and old people in the games industry, I should say old people as in, like, you know, 30 to 40 year olds, and that's like...
dinosaurs.
No, it's kind of what that podcast is, and it's like Kyle, who hosts it, does a really good job of, like, prompting discussion, wrangling people in, kind of laying the landscape for pundits to speak about what they want to speak about, except I have absolutely no connection to any of those people and really don't like listening to any of them. But I think that, you know, with like guidance, that could be what the future kind of is, where you have people like PewDiePie interacting with people like Jeff Gerstmann, and you have that kind of a dialogue happening, or like a veteran kind of guiding a discussion to make it less about just reactions and more about like a fostering some kind of intellectual discussion.
Well, I think the truth is, I think those people are gaining, they're encroaching on the journalism territory. I think that they are...
The tastemakers?
Essentially...
What are they called?
I think they're called tastemakers.
They're tastemakers, but I think that what started as people...
Influencers.
Just, like,
influencers.
Yeah, what started as people just reacting to games and, like, driving them with their goofy videos has turned into people actually, like, making... Like, actually commenting coherently about games. I think that if you bring someone like PewDiePie on, I mean, I don't... You know, I haven't heard him speak at length about his opinions about games, but I feel like he probably would be able to, like, actually have some pretty informed and well-articulated opinions about games at this point. Like, he could probably stand with those people, and his audience is way bigger.
Sure.
So it's kind of an existential threat to the people, the Easy Allies or the Gerstmanns of the world. I think that those people are really cutting into their territory.
Oh, I bet you're totally right. It's just,
I think if you're Jeff Gerstmann and you've made it to 40 and you're still doing this...
Yeah.
You've probably, like, crossed a Rubicon, and he will do this until he dies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
He's big enough, for sure. Yeah. I just think for some of the lower tiers of games journalism, it is a rough environment, and, you know, it's very interesting to watch those guys on Patreon, because they're bringing in 40K a month, which is huge.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I think it's interesting because, and again, just to tie this to other stuff, it's interesting to see Pebble as a company doing something similar. It's relying on a dedicated and devoted group of backers to like make an outsized contribution to your thing, because Pebble is such a small, it's basically a niche product at this point. But they're, you know, they're breaking Kickstarter records. I feel like it's the same thing with Easy Allies. Like, if it weren't for Patreon, even though I'm a little skeptical about those models, they would not exist, and there's no way a conventional funder would be interested in them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Patreon is awesome. I'm a big Amanda Palmer fan, and she does Patreon stuff. Luckily, it's like I'm kind of like I'm benefiting from these other Patreon people who are supporting her, and then she puts her stuff out on Spotify and Tidal, so I feel kind of guilty. Because I don't actually need to support her, but she makes enough on the Patreon to like just do whatever she wants. Same with Jim Sterling; it's like it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I Patreon isn't perfect. The amount that they take, that their take is on this, you know, taxes and all that come along with it, it makes it so you're definitely not making as much. I think we've had this talk before, but I think the biggest problem is like when you have these tiered donation things. People, I haven't really been compelled to donate to any of this stuff because I haven't really, you know, thought anything has been worthwhile. You know, 2 days early access to a podcast does not push me over that edge to want to to donate to them.
Yeah, go ahead. I think it's the Twitch model though. I think it's you're paying for something that doesn't really give you. It's almost more open and honest than Kickstarter to be quite frank. Because I think you're almost saying I'm only paying for this because I love it, because I care about it, because I want it to exist.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you'll throw some emotes my way in the case of Twitch, or yes, you'll throw me a podcast 2 days earlier that is a link that you could easily share. Mm-hmm. Like. All, you know, I actually happened to back at the $5 tier for Easy Allies because I really like Kyle Bosman. And all that happens is you get the podcast 2 days early, and it is just an unlisted YouTube video. Like, I could share the link with you guys right now if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's almost more authentic and charming in that way, because it's just like, you're just giving
because
you're
better than us
thing.
Now.
No, it's not even that. Literally, the only reason I'm giving to and I thought about it for a while, is that the only reason I'm giving to these people is because, you know what, I like them as creators. I'm interested in them continuing to exist. It is as simple as that. And
Christian,
I think...
Christian Spicer of the DLC podcast with Jeff Cannata has a Patreon where he's a comedian. He does a bunch of like other narrative things besides talk about games, but he also streams a lot. But... he prides himself on saying that when you sign up for his Patreon, he will give you nothing. So he won't give backers any special anything, but you're supporting him. And he literally prides himself on the fact that like people are paying him, and he's literally not giving him anything that he isn't already giving away for free. It's just if you want to support him because you like him, mm-hmm. now you have an outlet to do so.
I enjoy that honesty.
Yeah, it's nice because there's no product. It's not like you're being promised something that you don't get. I mean, sometimes you are, because some people just aren't equipped. I think it can be tricky with individuals, because some people just aren't equipped to like be consistent, or they have life problems that come up and they can't really deliver on their goals. Of course, then the money dries up pretty quickly, and that can be kind of a souring experience. But I think the ones that I've observed that are done well are pretty cool, just because as Jamie was saying, you know, with this guy, it's pretty direct and honest. It's just like, I just need this money. If you give it to me, I'll keep doing what you like.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of just needing money, let's talk about some games. And in the vein of kind of drawing up and over-promising what they delivered on, I played a little bit of Battleborn, guys.
Hey!
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How was it?
It delivered poorly and was mostly uninteresting.
Oh
no. Yeah. I thought you were into it for a bit.
Battleborn?
Yeah.
Oh, no, definitely not. I'm always pro... I want Gearbox to do well, because I liked, you know, the Borderlands games, but this is absolutely nothing like that. It maybe in kind of the art style and numbers flying off dudes as you shoot them. But, let me just get some quick points out of the way. First of all, the controversy is Battleborn, Overwatch. I should have written the real names, because now I'm just going to say Overcrotch.
nice.
Don't stop. Just keep saying it.
Paragon.
They're different games. Battleborn is not the same game as Overwatch. It is... it's much more close to like a MOBA, where there's creeps and you're kind of bad, and there's like diversity of objectives through the course of one map. When you pick a character, you can't change that character while you're playing. There's like everything is very damage spongy, so it's kind of slow moving in that regard. And then it's also extremely confusing, and you feel like you have no agency, like no bearing on the flow of the battle. So, and then the humor is, you know, kind of wanting. I don't know. I played a little bit of a single player map, and it was just. It just didn't do anything for me. So
you said you had no bearing on the flow of the battle. Is that like because you just? I don't mean to be like an asshole, but is that because you're bad at MOBAs, or is that because the game is not good at its what it's trying to do?
Sick burn, dude.
I'm just curious. Like, I think the listeners would want to know. Like, is it that you just don't like MOBA flow, or is it that the game just kind of sucks at being a MOBA?
Well. So, like a MOBA, you are upgrading your character as the match goes on. Like, you literally level up and then choose a direction, like, I want to spec into this kind of a thing, or use this kind of mutation on my character, instead of just straight up leveling and going up, like, a skill tree, or becoming beefier, or not leveling at all, like most games have, first-person shooters have. But this, like, you are actually gaining buffs, like, kind of in an MMO style. Like, oh, now this attack does 50% more damage when an enemy is stunned, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't think that it is any... I don't think that when I'm playing, like, the objective-based maps, that it is a problem with what I'm doing. I think it's just they poorly convey your success in those maps. So, if the objective is to kind of protect this creature as it's moving through the world, I don't really feel like when I'm shooting dudes there, I'm protecting the creature, or we're winning, or, you know, when we're taking down a big monster at the end, and, like, you just kind of feel like you're sitting there plinking away at its oversized health bar.
That's exactly how I felt when I played the demo on PS4, and I just was thinking, you know, I've never played a MOBA, but I was thinking when I was playing that game, I wish I was looking top-down so I could actually see what's going on.
So it's an unsuccessful marriage of two genres.
Absolutely.
From the sound of things.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my questions short now because I'm at my 3 minutes, so, or my answer's short. But if you guys want to ask me any questions, I will spend another minute answering them.
What did you think about, like, the style of humor?
Forgettable.
Yeah.
I have one question. You mad because you bad. Boom.
Boom. Damn. Goes the dynamite. Ouch. Yeah, faced. Yep. Nailed it. For three.
Nailed it.
I will say that, like, I think another, like, deterring factor, and it's, and I know, Jamie, we'll get more into this, and I'll kind of bounce back to it when we talk about Overcrotch, and that's in Battle Porn, you just, like, not having access to all the characters is a big old bummer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because you start it.
You can't get them all?
Yeah, you start it, and it's like, here's the seven you start with.
Ew.
Yeah.
And then you got to pay for them, or what's up?
You can complete objectives, and they will give you coins to unlock them. And then I think
you can pay for them.
And you can pay for them. And I suspect, like, it, you know, to have player retention, they'll unlock things as the more you play.
Gotcha.
But don't quote me on that last part.
Fucking microtransactions.
There was a lot of talk about the intro being really weird, and it's, like, anime style. I did not believe that is the case. I absolutely loved it, and the Deltron music that was playing over it was really awesome, too. I 100% pro that intro. It's probably the best thing in the game.
I was going to say, if there's one thing Gearbox can do with those games, it's goofy intros.
Absolutely.
Well-chosen music.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Well, that's a bummer. I never cared much for that game, but I'm still bummed that it didn't quite deliver. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's too bad.
All right, I'm tossing it to Jeff. What is a game that you played you want to talk about?
I will talk games. Let's talk Dark Souls, I guess. So I got farther in Dark Souls. I feel like with all my games, Jamie, I'm going to cede a lot of time to you today because I don't have a lot to say about all my games. Dark Souls 3 is real damn good, but it's Dark Souls. What can I tell you about that game? It's real fun. Level design's real good. Definitely better than Dark Souls 2. I mean, I got nothing new to say, but I played it. I also played more Enter the Gungeon. I'm just going to say it because I'm giving you all my time, Jamie, except for Uncharted.
Whoa.
Enter the Gungeon's real good, too. It's still freaking hard, but I'm getting farther in the game, and it's Isaac 2.0. but it doesn't. I don't have enough time in my life for it to get its hooks into me. And honestly, I've been busy with car replacement, so not a lot of games in my existence except for Uncharted 4. But I'm going to let Jamie start that conversation.
Oh, before you go that way, can I ask you just a couple questions about Dark Souls 3?
Fuck you,
please.
Yes, of course you can.
First question: is it not going well because you're bad at it? Kidding. Real question. How far
what comes
have you
around
got
goes
in,
around.
How far have you got into it? Like, have you defeated any of the major bosses?
So I am at. I'm trying to remember what the zone. I'm at a point where there are two significant branches. How far did you get, Griff?
I got to Bart the Dog Lightning boss man thing.
Okay, yeah, I got way past that. I got to a point where there is a swamp that poisons you because it's
just
turtles.
Just relentless insults. Jesus Christ.
What?
Nothing.
Oh. Also, Griff, your audio is kind of shit in the bed. I don't know what's going on.
Oh. Well, I can't do anything about that, so sorry.
All right. Anyway, what was I saying? So there's a swamp that will poison me, and there is... Oh, fuck, what was the other way? It's been a bit since I picked it up. I got through an overworld swamp, and then there was an underworld swamp, and then there was also... Was there Fireland? No. I can't remember. It's good. It's a good game. I just need to get back to it. I just don't have a lot to say about it, because I got through some zones. It feels good. It feels right. I'm never going to not like those games. If this, as I said, I think when Dark Souls 2 came out, if this is like, if they're going to COD this, I'd rather I get this than regular COD.
Sure.
So it's fine. And Enter the Gungeon, I've talked about it before. The one thing I'll say about Enter the Gungeon is that it can be really frustrating in that game when you don't get like something decent on, like, I feel like with Isaac, even if you get shitty items, it's still fun. With Enter the Gungeon, if you don't get something good on the first floor, it's like a fucking slog, and it's just kind of depressing to play, because using your basic weapon in that game, which you have infinite bullets for, is, it's just very tedious, especially if you lose and have to start all over from the first floor, because the floors in that game are long. So when I play it, I only have the patience for like two or three runs, which maybe for you guys is like whatever, like that's totally normal. But for Isaac, I can play like a gazillion runs before I would want to actually stop. So that's a weakness of that game. But it is a really fun game, and a game built around guns, sort of like Nuclear Throne, but kind of unique in its own way and with its own distinct identity.
Did you play Nuclear Throne?
I played a little Nuclear Throne. I would say this game is very similarly hard. But it's got the cool, fun dodge roll with the invincibility frames that we talked about last time. And it's got a little more... I would say that Nuclear Throne was, like, funny, but this is a little more, like, lighthearted, I think, than Nuclear Throne is. Not that Nuclear Throne wasn't lighthearted, but this is... It's got a different vibe to it. It's a little more, like, goofy.
Does your Subaru come with a sticker that says your kids can't crap on a Nuclear Throne?
God willing. Jamie, are you getting Griffin's audio thing?
Yeah, Griffin's being a little wonky.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should pause it and then splice two pieces together so we can fix that audio for you, Griff.
Okay. What's the problem?
Or Griff could just exit the call, and then Jeff, you could just call him back.
Yep. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
Get out, Griff.
Doing it.
All right, I'm going to add that mother trucker again. Give me one second. How am I going to do that?
I rejoined the call.
Oh, yay. He's back.
Is it better?
Better. Yes.
You sound better.
Okay, fantastic. What was the problem?
It was really, really choppy. Like,
robot
staticky.
Voice? Or?
Yeah. Unbelievably staticky.
See, I don't think that I'll ever escape that as long as there are three people who just beat the crap out of our bandwidth in this house.
I'm not sure it was that this time. It sounded a little different than usual.
Okay, well, whatever. So, good now.
But anyway, really the major game that I played this week was Uncharted 4, and I wanna co-discuss that with Jamie. But I'm going to pass it to you, Jamie. You want to talk about something else?
Yeah, maybe I'll talk about Overwatch a little bit first, because I'm the only one who played that. That game is so good. I am not a huge first-person shooter person. The only first-person shooter that I was really excited about and had fun with in recent memory was Star Wars Battlefront. And that is fun, but I bounced off that like whoa. Like, I haven't touched that since its release, which is a shame, because I think it's a genuinely good game. But this is on another level entirely. I knew when I played the beta that it was going to be excellent, and it totally is. Griffin, you've described it as pretty much identical to Team Fortress 2, and I think on the face of it, yeah, like they're if you just looked at it, like if you looked at like what it does, yeah, on the face of it, it's pretty similar. But there are a couple key distinctions, and those those little distinctions add up and make it feel to me substantially different.
I agree. I think it is Team Fortress, but there is more. There's just something more to it. So I'd like to hear if you can
I was really trying to think about what that is, because I knew we were going to be talking about it, but I don't know if I just don't have enough experience with shooters to really put my finger on it. I have a couple ideas, and I'll bounce them off you guys. The first and the biggest change the obvious change is just, like, the way it looks. And I'm the kind of person that thinks that graphics and art style and stuff actually has a huge impact on, like, gameplay. So I think that the fact that this is brighter, more colorful, more vibrant, not only does it immediately grab you in terms of just looking amazing, but when you're actually playing it, it's so much easier to see other people on the map because everything stands out so well. Whereas if you play, if you look back at Team Fortress 2, it's a very kind of brown gray game. So characters blend in, and it's, you know, everything just looks kind of drab. So that's one difference. The second difference that immediately pops out to me is that I think that in Team Fortress 2, like, everyone's using the rocket launcher to jump across the map. People are literally flying across the map. It gets really hectic because it turns into, like, almost like an Unreal Tournament type situation, because you're literally flying across the map. In this, no character is going to be flying across the map.
That's not true.
I mean, you can you can fly, but you can only fly. Like, I've played all the characters that can fly, like D.Va and Pharah, and you can only fly for extremely short distances.
Right.
And when you do that, you're at a huge risk of just being shot down.
Mm-hmm.
More so, I think, than in Team Fortress 2. And also, the levels the levels have a verticality to them. That's nice. But whereas in Team Fortress 2, I feel like they're, it wasn't, like, stratified, like, very clearly. Like, there were just lots of places where you can be vertically on a map in Team Fortress 2. In this game, there's, like, basically three levels. Like, ground, like, a little higher, and then high. And almost every map has three levels, and almost every choke point has about two or three levels. So there aren't too many places for you to be, and not all characters can access those higher levels. A lot of characters will be on the first two levels, and only if you're, like, a sniper and you have a special ability that lets you get up real high, will you be up there.
How are those types of players punished? Like, how is a sniper punished if it's the only character that can get up there?
Squishiness.
So this goes into, like, the micro...
Oh, so are there health bars?
Yes.
Yeah. And TF, every character, right, yeah, has different health. A lot of characters have different health. So this gets into, like, the micro itty bitty things of what make this game, what take it from being, like, a really good game to, like, an excellent shooter, like, maybe an example of shooters for the future. And it's hard to describe because these changes are so small, but I'll try to do it. So you asked, how do the snipers get punished when they're up there sniping? Whenever something happens, whenever someone starts shooting, or there are abilities that people can use, the enemy's locations will be highlighted. Not using a mini-map, there's no mini-map, but the enemy's locations will be highlighted, like you can see them through walls temporarily.
Oh, I see.
And so if a sniper's up on a balcony and she starts going crazy shooting people, you're going to be able to see her through the balcony. You're going to be able to see her strafing back and forth. And you can really easily...
She tries to cover herself, but it's too late. I've seen everything.
And she can use her abilities to maybe change position, which makes it exciting both for you trying to attack her and for the person playing the sniper. But at that point, she's pretty much gotta leave. And the game just somehow knows, like, when exactly it's time to stop showing you where she is. And then it stops. Unless someone else uses an ability. So that's amazing. Other little things that the game does, which is completely different, is at the end of the game, you will not see a kill-death ratio. You will not see who had the most kills in a game. The first thing it shows you is the play of the game. Play of the game could be anything. I got my first play of the game today. It was awesome. It can be someone healing. It can be someone, like, withstanding a lot of damage. It can be someone absorbing a lot of damage. Or it can be someone going, like, a 10-point kill streak. But most of the time, it's actually... not. It's usually someone, like, avoiding damage in a crazy way and then somehow getting a kill out of it, which is fun. And then after that, it just shows you what you did in that match, which you did well. So if you're if you're a healer, it's like, look, you healed. Like, you healed this much, and usually you heal this much, but you did better this game. And, yeah, like, you spent this much of your time on the objective, so that's cool. Hmm. And there's no arguing. Like, I've only heard in the chat and or seen in the chat, I've only seen someone griefed once, and I'm playing on PC. And that's because that person got booted. And
you got to play on Xbox 360. That version of Overwatch is coming just for the griefers.
But I think the game is great because this, like, every character is played in a completely different way, and it's the kind of game where you can see someone doing some sort of strange strategy with a character you've never seen before that looks cool, and you can say to yourself, "I want to do that," and then you can go do that. It's awesome. Like, it's not like too hard where you can't, like, you try to do a Hadouken and you fucking can't because you can't get the stick to move in the right way. It's like you can do what the crazy stuff that you're seeing other people do. You only have to practice it maybe like once or twice, which is awesome.
That sounds pretty cool. I was going to say, I wanted you to say something that would make me someone who is not super FPS driven, although more so than I was before, and has never played a Team Fortress like before, excited about this game, and that might be it.
There's a character named Reaper who's a glass cannon, and he can teleport. So he's really powerful, but if you get him in your sights, he's going to die. I saw someone, I was playing as a tank, someone was playing as Reaper. They teleported behind me from like across the map and just took me out. And I was like, that's awesome. I want to do that next time. So literally when I was dying that time, I chose to jump back into the game as Reaper. And then I did it back to him as Reaper.
See, and
that's awesome. Pretty cool.
That's where, I think, well, this is going to be the theme for this episode. It's, hey, there's a game done before, and this game is, like, just a way better version of that game. So when we get to Uncharted, like, we'll see that reiterated. But, Jamie, what you're describing is exactly what happens when I was playing Team Fortress. Like, somebody, you know, sneaks into the base as the spy and does a couple complicated maneuvers to stay hidden, and it's like, wow, that was really cool that they did that. And I'm like, I'm going to switch to the spy and try that, and I did that. And, I'm doing the same thing that you're describing in Overwatch, where it's like, oh, this person is playing the ice chick, Mei, pretty interestingly, actually, when I was playing it, the teleportation lady, they were playing it fascinatingly, like in controlling area, and I'm like, ooh, I want to try that. So then I'd switch over to her and I'd have a good time with that, and that dynamic, that ability to jump to something else on the fly, try that, get exposure to a strategy, try it out, and be able to perform it without really too much of a complication felt really good.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think that Overwatch has the added value of having, like, what, maybe three or four times as many characters as Team Fortress. So, and each one of those characters there really aren't like rehashed characters. I feel like each one of them is incredibly unique.
Yeah.
And each one of them, even though they are unique, can be played in like five different ways. Yeah. Even though you only have like four abilities to think about, which is really great. They somehow made this really deep, complicated, but easy to access game, and you only have like four buttons. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and there's super generous auto aim, so like, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to stay honed in on a person.
Please.
That's kind of why when I was playing, I was like, oh, I'm not going to play as a sniper ever because I can't do that. So, but then, you know, trying it out a little bit, I'm like, oh, this is actually easier than expected. That it is a very generous auto aim, even with that.
I don't think on PC there is. There very well could be. There is? Okay.
Yeah, it's just.
I want scrub tier features.
Yeah, there will. It is there.
Okay, good.
When it comes to shooters, I am mad because I am bad, so the more the better.
Oh, I'm awful. Yeah. I am god-awful, and that just goes to... It's like I'm having so much fun. I love to play as Bastion and turn into a tank and then camp somewhere and grief people who run through like the same corridor, and I just mow them down every time. It's great.
I know Bastion is controversial because I saw something about it somewhere, and I thought it was the video game Bastion, and I was like, that game's controversial?
Yeah, Jamie, what
the
is...
The kids these days!
What is the...
The wibblies and the wobblies!
What is the controversy? What is the controversy with Bastion? Because when I was playing Overwatch beta, like... Nobody was playing that dude, and I was like, wow, I really like this character. I could use him. He makes sense to me.
Yeah. I think he might be too good or something. I don't know.
He's one of the most fun characters. I don't think he's too good. I don't think they're going to touch... I would guess that they're not going to touch him because he... if you get up close to him, he's going to die. The thing that makes him really powerful is that when he turns into a tank, at which point he is immobile, he has
a turret, like, you mean.
The most powerful, most accurate gun in the game. And so if he sees you first, you're going to die no matter what.
But I'm going to... Go ahead, Jamie. Sorry.
But if you get behind him, which you can do with like I was saying, with Reaper or any of these teleporting characters, or even any... there's lots of ways to get behind people in this game.
I got sniped a bunch when I was playing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
I'm going to start playing Overwatch right now. Are you ready for me to start playing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bastion, too strong. Nerf. Nerf, he's too strong. He's such a loser. Such a noob playing Bastion. He's Nerf.
I see you're playing on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. And scene.
This is very...
Jamie, I'm excited to play that. I'm going to come to your state and then play that game for a minute and see that it's fun.
Yes. Oh, I forgot.
And then I'll buy it. Yep. Coming to Jersey.
Did you bring your PC with you?
Hey, podcast. Yeah. LAN party. Hey, podcast listeners. Jeff Brewer is going to
New Jersey. Doing a live show at the Summit Diner at 3 a.m.
Fan meetup.
It's going to be, it's going to be mostly, I would say there's going to be limited nudity.
I would say there's going to be.
Try to keep it to a minimum.
And by limited nudity, it's limited to Jeff.
Limited to only my lower half.
Top half or bottom? There we go. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, for the entire time.
Sign up for our Patreon to see the top half.
Yeah.
All 5 minutes in the diner and 23 and a half hours in the prison cell.
Sometime in between in the horse trough.
Jeez.
After we get drunk off our asses on Broadway Diner milkshakes.
So, do you have any final thoughts on playing Overcrotch? I know, is there any, what's going to keep you playing the Overwatch game?
It's just, it's so addicting getting good at a character because you can get good at them very quickly and like seeing the fruits of you just thinking, oh, that ability is really cool. I bet I could use that ability to do this. And then 9 times out of 10, you're actually able to follow through on your thoughts. I also think I'm going to come back because it's a team-based shooter with like unique characters where I don't need to be thinking about the map or my team or the other team to have fun. I can just be thinking about myself, which is all I can really handle in these games. If I have to start thinking about the map and where I should go and like what my team is and what my team needs and what the other team's weaknesses are, then that's just too much. I just want to jump in, and you can do that in this game. It's great.
Who's your favorite character?
It's a tie between... So I actually really like Soldier 76. He's like the intro character. He's the easiest to play.
He's the most shooter-like.
Yeah, most shooter-like. He's got a dash and a grenade. And I really love playing him. If I'm struggling in a match, like if I'm feeling frustrated, I'll just jump back to him. And usually I'm having fun again. I like playing him. I like playing Bastion. And I like playing Pharah. What about you?
Which one's Pharah?
Pharah is the girl who has the slow but really powerful rocket launcher.
Oh, the Valkyrie chick?
She made the backdoor teen mom? That's Pharah.
Pharah with a PH.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just a D. Okay, I didn't ever... I maybe played her once in just tutorial, but I didn't dig into it. My favorite is D.Va, hands down the best character design in a very long time. I absolutely adore that.
So awesome.
Yeah, it is so 80s, like, Ghost in a Shell, and even when you're playing in it, you get the cockpit view, which is really fun. Her little hands move on the joysticks that when you're moving around. I don't know. It's just perfect.
Does she have an ability where you jump out of the mech and then the mech explodes and hurts you?
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm going to take 3 minutes and speak about this game too, because I think that let me get my timer going here. I think that Jamie, you hit the nail on the head with what it is about Overwatch that just makes it so yummy. And what my first thought was when I was posing this question to myself a couple days ago, it was just like, there's something special about these characters that they made. And then putting that against Battleborn, like, they are instantly forgettable. Like, you've got gigantic guy with muscles and a machine gun, and he's really not very fun to play as. Or sword guy, or other sword guy. And those are the Battleborn characters, and you're like, I don't even know
you. There's a penguin.
There's a guy, yeah, there's a penguin, the dude's named Montana. I don't really remember anything about it. But these characters, like, you can remember their names, they're simple, their characters are very expressive, even in, like, the character selection screen. And their quips that they say in battle, though, you know, aren't brilliant by any means, like, they do, they're stickier than the Battleborn ones.
There's more character in Mercy's, literally Mercy's pinky, than there is in any character I was staring at her fingers, and I was like, those fingers are more expressive.
Was this right before climax, or?
No, when you played her, her hands kind of like in front of the screen, and she's like,
yeah, that's, I know what you mean, man.
So that's the other part is, it can't just be the characters, because any game can have cool characters. Like, the Battleborn ones are neat to look at, but they're not particularly memorable. And I think what also makes these guys so memorable is you have a very limited set of skills, much like Team Fortress, where it's like, you've got Spy, and Spy can cloak, and he can backstab, and he has a big old pistol that kind of sucks. Where in this, like, you have the same thing. You've got Genji, the archer, who can, you know, make a ricochet arrow, or he can make a penetrating arrow, maybe? No. Explosive arrow? I don't remember. But what seals the deal for all of these characters and makes them so super memorable is them having actual supers, and that's where I think, you know, it takes the leg up from Team Fortress, where you don't have that. And it's handled so brilliantly. And when I was playing Battleborn, I was like, man, this sucks. I wish I could play as another character in the middle of battle. Nope, I guess I'll have to wait to the end of the battle. In this game...
You can switch mid-battle?
You can switch...
Nice!
Anytime, and the penalty is... So the penalty is you're building up a super meter that lets you do this ultra super powerful fun move, and when you switch characters, that super goes back down to zero. So I could be like playing Tracer and not very good with Tracer, but as long as I keep sticking with her, I'll eventually build up enough meter to do one of her super cool moves. But if I'm constantly changing from character to character and not really progressing in a with like kills or support or doing a job or anything like that, I will you're not really going to see any of the big, big moments that really make those characters extra fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you can still switch. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's not like, it's not a hard lock. It's just really encouraging you to stick with somebody.
You don't even technically have to die to switch. If you're near the building where you spawn in, you can just back up into that building and switch there.
Yep.
Which is really cool.
Yep. And Jamie, you asked D.Va, yes, her super is she exits the mech, and then it detonates with a huge radius explosion, and then your meter builds up again, but faster, and then you can call down a new mech.
Yeah.
And then anytime your mech gets damaged to a certain, like, you've got two health bars, you have your character's health bar and the mech, so the mech will go down to zero, and then you exit it, and you'll be able to run around, kind of like Samus.
Yeah, I was going to say Zero Suit Samus.
Yep.
I really don't want to make this go on too much longer, but I just want to say that the matchmaking or something has got to be amazing, because every single match is like, it's down to the last minute. And there's something about the way they design the missions. As a team gets close to success, it's harder and harder to do so, like built into the way that the maps and the missions are designed. So it always seems tense. It always seems crazy. I think the matchmaking prioritizes location really well. So, for example, today I was playing with Axel, and we were in a game, and then it said, wait, 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 there's a better game. We're going to take you out of this game and put you in another one. And we're like, wow, okay.
You're like, whoa, Uncharted 4, kidding.
And it put us in a game with Axel's brother and Axel's brother's friend who were playing at the same time, and we didn't know we're playing.
Wow.
But it was just like, all you fools are in Summit, so you're all going to play a game together.
Wow.
I was going to say, where you described that situation with the matches remaining tense until the very end because of some weird behind-the-scenes shenanigans, is this like the Japanese baseball of first-person shooters?
Yes.
Fantastic. I'm in. I'm in, damn it.
I just have one last question, Jamie, and that's from the beta to the main game, like, there's no story mode. It's just play. It's just shooting dude action. But are there any different mission types from the betas, which were, like, control the point, protect the thing? Yeah, that was it.
I don't think so. I think the beta was literally the game.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that's the case, too. But I...
Yeah.
But, here's this quote-unquote beta, which is the build right before we ship the final product.
Demo.
The
beta. Yeah.
When I was playing the beta and I heard these characters delivering their catchphrases, I was so angry because I was like, this is no context. This is meaningless. This is such a great character. If you're going to just give me like a 1 hour, like, single player thing for each of these people. And I watched some of the videos on YouTube and I got over that. And now I'm just ready to just enjoy the game for what it is.
Wait, you got over it like you're like, oh, I don't need to care about these characters. I just want to play. Or
no. I want to care about them. Even I care about them. I want to care about them even more. I would die if they released like even a half hour like story / like combat arena thing for each of these characters. I would flip my shit. It would be amazing. But even if we don't get that, that's okay.
You know what they will release? Lots of YouTube videos.
Yes.
Novelizations.
Dude, those YouTube videos are so good, though. I've watched
all
of them.
They're amazing.
And I'm sure they are.
They're
like, seen any of them.
They're like what the Team Fortress videos were to comedy. This is to, like, actual character development and depth.
Yeah, like, even Soldier 76, like, the most generic character you can imagine, has a great little video, 6-minute video. And, you know, watching that does enrich the play.
I appreciate that. But I also, it just frustrates me when I feel like we live in the age where a product does not exist. It cannot exist in a vacuum anymore. It has to exist as part of a broader, like, IP that has other pieces of media building it up. Like, why does everything come with a, like, you know, a comic that ties in or videos that tie in?
Well, I'll tell you why they did this, because Team Fortress did it and it was successful.
Of course, and Overwatch, you know, it's not necessarily the same as some of these other things, but that shit does kind of drive me up a wall a little bit, just because I feel like I don't like having to consume different types of media in order to be able to enjoy the game to its fullest. I would rather that the game speak for itself and stand alone. So that does kind of bum me out a little bit, even though I can be okay with it. It does frustrate me.
It's somewhat ameliorated by the fact, for me personally, and I know price is never a reason to, you know, excuse anything from a game, but it's somewhat ameliorated by the fact that for me it was $40.
That's true, and that's a consideration that is not made for some other transmedia bullshit. But no, I cross media, whatever the term is. But yeah, this when companies do that shit, it drives me crazy. But it sounds like maybe with Overwatch, it's keeping the budget down, which I can get behind.
$60 on consoles, though. On PC, you can choose whether you want the $40 or the $60 version, but on consoles, there's only the $60 version.
Does the $60 version have Tracer's butt again?
The $60 version has, weirdly and hilariously, a bunch of, like, bonuses for other Blizzard games.
Perfect.
Like, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm.
God damn it.
Nice.
Hearthstone.
That's crazy.
How many booster packs do you get for Hearthstone?
I don't know.
God damn it.
All right, so we're done talking about Overwatch, but yeah. So, but I do think that I have to point this out because I pointed this out to a friend that it's hilarious that this is such a, you know, this is the elevation of Team Fortress 2, which was a Valve game, and this is a Blizzard game, and then you have Dota 2, which is an elevation of Dota, which was based on a Blizzard game that is now a Valve game. So
they steal pretty liberally.
Yeah,
called it, right? There we go. Perfect. Moving on.
Griff, do you want to talk about either Ratchet or Neo, and then I'll start Uncharted 4, and we can all get into that?
You played Neo, right? I don't have anything more to say about it.
I can't figure that game out, man.
I'm only in that I don't like it. That's I played it, I was like, good, I don't need to do this. I don't need to pay any money for this.
I want to like this game. There are parts of this game that are really interesting to me.
What
and
are you
then,
talking about?
Japanese, like, more Japanese Bloodborne Dark Souls.
It's a Tecmo Koei, right? Arcade Tecmo, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, Neo.
Yes, yes. Not tonight. I want all of you tonight, Neo.
Is it is it Bandai Namco or is it?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Koei Tecmo. Okay. But anyway, yeah. So I played it for like 10 minutes, and I was like, "This is cool. I like what they're putting down in terms of vibe and ambiance. I think this." The character moves in interesting ways, but there are 4 stances for my sword, and I don't understand any of them.
Oh, interesting, because I was like, I love the sword play. It's so Bushido Blade, and it has a lot of depth that I could really get into, but actually being in this world, playing this game, and interacting with it in all facets, I have zero interest in.
Well, to be fair, I got literally, I would say, 10 minutes into the game, and was like, well, there is nothing explaining how this nonsense works. Fuck it. I hate it.
It definitely did feel like an alpha, where it was a slice of the game put in front of you, and not like the modern alpha, which is like a beta or a demo.
Yeah. Well, what I appreciate is that where it is sort of an alpha, they're actually taking feedback and they're going to put some kind of tutorialization in there, which makes me interested because I did like the vibe. I felt like it. It wasn't like really special, but it was. I could have a good time in that world. I think.
I could not.
I didn't get very far. What did you encounter that was like, no,
it's not worth going into it. It was uninteresting. It's like, oh, cool, more Dark Souls. Enough. I've had enough of this right now in my life. This is doing nothing interesting.
I'll never tire of ambience and creepy dudes coming up to me and just
guys jumping lonely. Out of boxes. Great,
feeling
good
lonely,
fun.
Feeling desolation. It's something about it. Just it's like listening to a Radiohead album.
Sure. Nice. I mean, maybe it's because I then went on to play a game that I enjoyed a lot more and suits my tastes and needs, and that was the new Doom. It has kind of that same isolation that you mentioned, and ambiance and loneliness, but you're running around super fast shooting demons with awesome guns and maneuvering through really cool combat puzzles, and just it's, you know, you don't have to aim down sights. It's an old school style themed shooter where you're just going nuts and killing guys and no reloading. It's just fast and intense and kinetic, and I had a great time playing it. I'm gonna be playing more here soon when I can buy some time. It's really fun, has a really cool opening. I love it.
I was gonna say, how weird is it that they didn't deliver that game until launch day, and it's like actually not terrible?
It's great. I mean, I think it's great. Critically, I could care less. Yeah, you know. But
It was just surprising that they held back the reviews until launch, and it's turning out to be a hit with everyone. I mean, it's doing great. People love it. They're talking about it left and right.
Yeah, it's like, who at that company was worried and why? I want to know.
I mean, I want to play it too, but yeah.
Cool. You've got Id, who I think has an amazing track record. You've got, you know, last 2 years ago, Wolfenstein: The New Order, which I loved a lot.
It was so good.
And then before that, you had Rage, which I want to say they made before they were acquired by Bethesda, but I could be wrong.
Yes, I believe they did,
needed those. They needed to gobble up those mega textures, and I really liked Rage. I had a great time with that game, and I know it gets pooped on, but I really, really had a good time playing that game.
It was a surprise. Yeah,
it's very weird that it was handled in that way.
Yeah, I also just feel like when I watched the demo of it, I was like, this looks fucking boring as hell. Like the video they showed at E3 last year, I was like, this looks terrible.
Mm. Okay, well, I don't think that this current game is going to change your mind on that then.
It does seem like the kind of game that you have to play it, and you need to get that adrenaline rush to really appreciate what it's
like.
Yeah,
because I liked Doom. I enjoyed Doom back in the day. Played Doom 2 all the time, so.
It's good.
I don't know. Yeah. Sweet.
Also played Ratchet and Clank, finished it, and that was fun.
That game's amazing.
And I think
I'm in love with that game.
Playing that before I went and played Uncharted 4, I kind of had some struggles with the camera in Uncharted 4, because in Ratchet and Clank, it's like, this is behind the back games that you know how to play, where you control the camera, and then I go to Uncharted 4, and I'm like, I'm fighting this the entire time.
Yeah, well, and it had its quirks, and maybe do you want to just get into Uncharted 4?
Yep.
Okay, let's lead the Uncharted 4 discussion from the best perspective possible. The camera was
from behind
the back.
Best.
Yeah. Did you guys have that weird issue where you couldn't like turn around corners unless you angled the camera?
I had it more in that I just wanted it to be up a little higher. Like it felt like it was at an uncomfortable angle for me. And
didn't like that ass.
No. Well, no, I'm all about it, but I blamed it on Ratchet and Clank because I was like, well, this game, just the camera works more with my lizard brain, and this is like a more artistic camera. So
I did not notice. Yeah,
that's so fascinating. I had no issues with the camera at all.
Really? So you didn't find yourself having to angle the camera in order to turn around corners when you were hanging?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I do that. I do that, but I don't even think about it.
Scratch that perfect 10, motherfucker. No, Uncharted 4.
How many crashes did you guys have?
I had zero crashes, you crazy,
I
crazy
had
man.
Zero, yeah. I think your PS4 is on the way out.
I had about 15.
Uncharted 4 is a real good game, and I think we're going to be of three different minds about this game. I really liked it. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I think that they took some of the best parts of The Last of Us and transplanted them in there. And I think it's a game that everyone should play because it delivers on the promise of next-gen graphics, and it is astonishing that from the PS4, which is not by any means a super powerful device, I mean, it's the most powerful console, but it's not an amazing powerhouse. The graphics they managed to coax out of that system are incredible. And it actually, I think it makes the case for, and I've said this to both of you guys already, it really makes the case in my mind for just pure graphics and like rendering technologies as a tool for storytelling, for advancing storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I've always been very skeptical of just graphics as a storytelling tool. But I think these games, when you look at those characters' eyes and you see like Nate like looking wistfully into the distance, you're like, holy shit, like what what was I playing before this and why is it all so bad?
Yeah.
But so that part of it is incredible. And even just stupid things like the way that like Sam's shirt clings to his body, it's very bizarre, but these little things, they do something to turn these characters into humans. And it, and I think that's one of the greatest strengths of the game. I think it's just not only is the writing I think that the graphics allow the writing to take a step back and actually be a little more subdued, and they can use the technology to let the characters develop in nonverbal ways. And I think that is something that is really exemplified in this game. What I'm not super jazzed about sometimes is that I feel like putting those awesome, amazing scenes where you see this really cool character development and Nate is actually given a little bit of depth, although they kind of have their cake and eat it too when you get to the ending, but we won't get into that for spoiler reasons. But what I had a hard time with was I couldn't help but like feel the Indiana Jonesness of it, and Jamie's going to bristle at that. I feel like when you have like stuff exploding around you and everything else, and like buildings collapsing, that's all amazing, and I love that. But juxtaposing that with like a kind of somewhat serious character story, sometimes it was a little bit of a jarring transition for me, and I think also just, there was a little bit of fatigue there. I think that it's something where when it kind of burst onto the scene with Uncharted 2, which is the one that really put it on the map. Really charted it. It was really novel, and I think I'm glad that they've expressed that they're going to be moving away from Uncharted after this, at least for a while, because I think they have reached the conclusion of what I want them to do, and I would be thrilled if this is their stopping point, because I think it is a high watermark. But I was definitely feeling that kind of, just like the like little itch of fatigue towards the end, in terms of like, okay, like this is incredible, every part of this that I look at is astonishing, but like I'd be cool if we took a break from this for a little while.
Do you feel like any part of that may be due to the fact that this is certainly the longest Uncharted game?
Possibly. And I think that there are certain things they used in the game, like roly crates and gravelly slopes, that they maybe overused a little bit. What? Even though they were cool and fun. And they were like, actually, I feel like the level design was even possibly maybe a little more puzzly in terms of just the physicality of the levels than it's ever been. I don't know if you agree, Jamie.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
hour
I was really impressed by some of the density of the level design and the way they reused handholds. And I think the grappling hook added a lot of cool touches in terms of navigating environments and sort of some verticality.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jamie. I'm going to pass it to you because I've talked about it for like 3 minutes or more now. So
that's
go ahead.
Nine.
Yep. No way.
Yep.
Fuck this me. Is hard. This is really hard.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Get your timers out.
Jumping off from what you said in terms of like the puzzles and stuff, I think that the puzzle rooms in this game were certainly the best in the series, which is probably like the best period. Like every time I entered a puzzle room, I felt so intrigued by the combination of the art in the room and like the way it was asking me to interact with the room. These are very simple puzzles. They're not difficult, but I've always had this like sense of wonderment when I started to interact with the puzzles the game offered, which was really cool.
How about that clock tower? I love that clock tower.
Yeah. Yep.
I won't argue with you. I mean, there are certainly things in this game that are just so weird. They're still asking you to suspend belief about the fact that, like, not only is Nate he is a superhero, but so is Sully, and so is your wife, and so is Sam, and so are all the bad guys, even the grunts. Everyone's a superhero.
Especially just short-wearing guy. That. He is the most superhero.
They don't care that much about people dying. It is something that is... I understand it's a video game, but it's weird.
That's beaten to death for the Uncharted series.
Yeah. I know it is, but it's still weird.
And this game
characters.
Did better, because this game, you do not kill someone for a very long time. The first person that is killed is not by you, and Nate is astonished by this. I thought that was handled very well, and I thought, yes. You know, maybe there won't be as much mass murder throughout this game.
There's not really, though.
What is...
I feel like there are fewer combat pieces in that game.
But you're still killing lots of dudes.
Yes.
Just capping, dropping bows.
The better option for stealth in many segments, like, it was greatly appreciated. So, yes, if you did feel icky about all the killing, you could play slower, utilize the stealth, and have a more passive run.
Which I did in every combat arena, and I had a great time. I'll say my thing about this game really quickly. I was disappointed by Uncharted 3. I think Uncharted 3 is a great game, but I think that they dropped the ball on a lot of things, especially in regards to the story, which was still good, but not up to the level of what I remember 2 being. Mm-hmm. This game feels like they knew that, and they said, "This Uncharted 3 is not a worthy send-off to this series and this character." And they said, it almost feels like they said, let's take the themes that we grappled with in 3, the Nate's relationship with his wife, young Nate, Nate growing up, Nate's role models growing up, like his family. Let's take all of that stuff and let's do it justice. And I feel like that's what they did in this game. Sam was completely retconned into the Uncharted universe.
And but they did it well. They did it well.
I totally bought it from the beginning. I bought it wholesale. He's an ex. I mean, Troy Baker is an amazing voice actor. I felt like this game.
Luke Perry.
Yeah.
I thought there was so much better chemistry between Nate and Sam than Nate and Elena. I was like, oh, that's really weird. Like, get Sam back here. I don't like talking to her.
I've always had a hard time with that voice actress. It's something about her voice just annoys me.
I think that this time around with the facial stuff, though, it was much better.
I think it was also, it worked in the moment that when you were kind of reintroduced to her, that there was kind of an iciness and a disassociation between the two of them. But then I was like, I don't know if it's getting better or if I'm getting used to it or what's happening here or if it just Sam's back and it's all good now.
Yeah. Without delving into spoiler territory, I appreciate that as you complete the game, they avoided making Elena into like the fun-hating, responsible individual. Like they gave her a little, like they stopped
completely.
Short of having her just be like, adventuring is bad.
not just stop short. They make her complicit in everything that's going on, and in the end. She is the reason why you continue to have adventures like, yeah, you know, out into the sunset, because she also has this thirst for adventure.
Yeah, but scaled back. But I felt like in the beginning of the game, when we were presented with her, it was like, oh, she's gonna be that what a woman is in all these games, which is the one who's trying to get you to settle down and, like, that's you
having that preconception, because that's totally the opposite of what plays out throughout.
Exactly, and I appreciate that. And I think it was almost a red herring. It was like, or not red herring, but like kind of like they led you astray, made you think that's how it was going to go. And then they were like, oh, actually, this character has more depth. And
they just explored Nate's reasons for going on this last adventure so thoroughly. I was listening to the DLC podcast with Jeff Granada, and they were talking about how they didn't like how in the end it still turned out that he was just protecting Elena. And that's not true. They explicitly state it's explicitly laid out in the story that he went on this adventure to protect himself. Like he felt that he was straying, and like he goes into a lot of detail. Nate does about that, and Elena doesn't need to be saved or protected. And I really like that.
I think you're coming at it of a different angle, because it was more about the lies, right? That was his reason why.
He was protecting himself he was guarding himself.
Yeah.
That was sort of it. And also, I mean, there was just the lying and the deceit and not being honest about what he really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he definitely was not. He said he was protecting her once, but that was immediately shut down.
Right. I mean, right. Yeah, I don't think this is worthwhile getting into much more. So if you guys, do you have any other thoughts on the game, Jamie? On like
multiplayer is fun. I tried.
I want to play that with you, Jamie.
Yeah,
play it with me.
It's actually worth it. I was very surprised. It's really goofy and stupid. Like you can call in like heavy supports. So like literally, like you just call in like a random armored person to Gatling gun by you, or you can call in like a mystery devil totem that will like inhabit the other players. It's great. I love
all the magic was relegated to multiplayer.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I am critical of the game, but only because. And I feel like it's the kind of game where I'm only critical of it because it's actually, like, incredible. And
you hurt the ones you love.
Yeah, it's I want to be critical of it because I have such respect for that studio and what they can do. And I want my criticisms to be, like, aimed towards making their next product even better, because they're always amazing. And it will probably be on my Game of the Year list. That's all.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, so now it's my turn to talk about the game, right? Sucks.
Yep.
Just horrible. Worst game. No.
Damn it.
Just one too many crashes. 7 out of 10. No. Putting the crash, my technical issues aside with the game, I agree 100% with Jeff. I maybe even a little bit more into the direction of like I didn't care for the direction it took. Like it got a little the blending The Last of Us into this game. Made it a little too real, if that's possible. Because, like, what I loved about the Uncharted series, and most people hate this about it, and that's, like, the big dumb monster that appears at the end. You're like, oh, there's just straight-up zombies, Nazi zombies here. Everybody forgets about that, and I guess the characters do as well, because we're not going to acknowledge that happened. But they're like, oh, blue dudes! There's the blue dudes! And he's got the... Like, I was super bummed that there was no, like, supernatural... Ark of the Covenant moment in this game, and then it was that combined with just how realistic, you know, the characters were portrayed, and like Jeff, you said, with the technology, and Jamie, with what you said about the more mature storytelling and robustness of the writing, it felt like that uncanny valley was exposed, and it was, I'm no longer playing a big old dumb shoot 'em up video game, I'm playing something that is trying to be something that it is not, but it is doing an extremely good job at it.
And while I don't completely agree, like I 95% don't agree with you, but like 5% of me was like, where's the blue dudes?
I love the blue dudes. Blue dudes are unfairly maligned.
And Jeff, to go with what you're saying there it's easy to pick at the little imperfections in the game because of everything that it does so well. Like,
yes.
You know, I could say, well, hey, how come Nate forgot to how to use a grappling hook until just now? Like, you know, oh, he kills with Nate killing all these people. Like, yeah, it's a video game. Get over it. I'm fine with all of that part. But
yeah.
To me, the thing that just kind of always set a little funny in my stomach was that progression towards more realisticness when you're coming from a history of, like, thoroughly goofy, fake nonsense. And I kind of miss that part of it. And that's really all. And besides that, like, I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm not saying that that's even a real flaw by any means. I miss that part. And, I mean,
yeah.
Like, the best monster in the game was Truck. That was, like, the most terrifying creature they put together. It's like that ugly red engine with its snarling gears coming after me. I'm like, oh, my God, this is actually legitimately terrifying and kind of gross.
Yeah. Why is this truck so juicy?
Yeah. It's like a Lost Planet boss with, like, glowing orange organs coming after me. But it was an engine. Yeah.
Even as someone who, like, probably disagrees, it's like everything you're saying is extremely valid.
I think it's so weird because it's a studio who we all felt like had outgrown, like, Uncharted. It's like, okay, nothing against Uncharted, but they had moved on to a different type of storytelling, which was far more serious, for lack of a better word. And I feel like this is the best they could do to keep that awesome quality while still having some Uncharted in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they could go back to doing Uncharted without taking a huge left turn or something like that, without taking a huge left turn, because they are just so good at, like, stuff that grabs you and makes you pay attention and take it seriously.
And I was also struck by how brilliant the pacing was in it. You know, it does.
Oh, yeah.
In the past, one of my bigger complaints about the Uncharted games is, like, yes, well, I shouldn't say bigger complaints, but one of the things that is noticeable is, like, combat, not combat, which is then a puzzle, and then climbing, and then combat, and then it's just like these herky jerky transitions in, but they feel good. It's like, whew, glad that's done, ready to do something else. This just blended everything together so perfectly, where it's like, oh, climbing puzzle in the clock tower, that's actually kind of a puzzle, and climbing together too, ooh, fun, and now jumping out there, now we're running around driving a truck, and now we're shooting at guys on the back of a truck. Oh my god, it just everything blended good. It had great pacing, and maybe suffering a little bit from the exposition side of just talking, but of course, look gorgeous, absolutely perfect. Yeah. I wouldn't change a thing about it.
How about those cave hands? I really liked those cave hands.
Oh, cave that hands? Reminds me. I don't know what a cave hand is.
The hands in the cave.
What are you talking
Avery's
about?
Avery's hands.
What?
Cave hands.
Well,
you don't, I'll tell you guys after the podcast.
Okay,
carry on.
It sounds gross, whatever it is.
It was, but it was great.
My technical thing that I love so much about this game when compared to Uncharted previous was, if there is a handhold while climbing within hand's reach, you just grab it. Like, yeah. You just push over to it and he grabs it. I don't have to press the climb button. I don't have to press, like, okay, his hand is clearly on top of this handhold. Why do I have to press the button to commit to going over there? Just go over there. It was just so perfectly streamlined and just made kind of like, again, the stutter of traversal of the previous games, like, go away to where I'm like, this is needs to be in all games now. If I can climb to it, I just need to push there and I climb to it. Line it up and go, dude. You're not. I've done this three games before. We don't need to kill anybody here.
Fuck exploding mummies.
Yeah, that was pretty awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did. That was annoying.
That was real bad. Any other games that anyone played?
Nope.
Sweet. Hey, we got a little time for news.
Yeah.
I have more, but I'm saving them.
Save them.
I'm choosing to say. I'm choosing to be silent.
All right. Hey, what do you guys like about this news?
I think the biggest thing on the list is the Nintendo stuff, since it's been a month since we've talked, right? Specifically,
their
presence at E3 or lack thereof.
Yeah, well, we talked about that last time, and I tried in vain to make the case that Nintendo wasn't in hot water. And then, like, a day later, they were like, hey, guess what? We're not having a Nintendo Direct. We're not showing anything else. It's just Zelda.
Now you can be one of people in New York going to play the Zelda Wii U as during E3 time.
Yep. Yep. One of 500 people that will purchase the new NX console. Just those 500. Shigeru Miyamoto will grip their hands and tell them, please, please, and then they will buy it. It's just, yeah.
Oh, ahead. I was going to just say, hey, topical news for today. The Mighty No. 9 trailer came out, the final trailer for the game, which is releasing June 21.
Oh, God.
It is... It's awful on so many different levels. I would only... go watch it, and
I did.
Then go don't buy that game.
It had 90s tune. I think that's what they were going for.
It did.
It was painful, though. It made me cry like a Mega Man fan on today.
Yeah.
Is the game itself supposed to be bad, or are you guys just reacting to the tone of the trailer?
Both.
Yeah. Mostly the tone, but if you look at the game, if you actually, like, take a moment and look, the levels just look real not designed at all.
Nope.
They just look like hallways.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yep. It's real, really, really sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was gonna say something else about Nintendo.
Moving away from that right now.
okay, fine.
With new things coming out, there was that Battlefield... one release or reveal. I don't know if you guys found that hilarious. I chose to include that picture
sure
because
yeah.
That is real promo art. And
I love that picture, by the way.
Are you serious?
That's a great picture.
It is
That's
ridiculous.
A fucking great picture, dude.
It looks...
That's the best part about it. It's
the one
so
with the
dumb.
Zeppelin in the background?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's your box cover? That makes me just want to yarts. Like, that's supposed to be your World War One Battlefield game when you have clearly Destiny guy standing on the front of it?
That's what's so good about it, though. It is a sci-fi fantasy game, but it's World War One. I fucking love it, dude.
When you put it that way, yeah. Cool.
What'd you say, Jamie?
When you put it that way, it is pretty cool.
I mean, it's cool, but the game's not going to be that.
No, it's not, which makes me sad. But, well, I don't know. I mean, that trailer was weird, man.
Yeah?
People loved it, but it was like, I did not... And I hate to be the person who's parroting every other podcaster's reaction, but this was my reaction. I was like, I thought World War One sucked ass. Like, what is going on here? This looks way too cool to be World War One.
Yeah.
But I guess people did like trailer analysis and said actually everything in there, like all the tech is legit. You know, most of the stuff is where it should
well,
be
yeah.
in terms of like actual historical context.
I'm sure the gun you shoot will be a World War One gun,
right.
But it will also shoot completely straight and it won't like you know
yeah.
gunk up.
Well, that's the big... That was a subject of conversation on another podcast. It was like, are they going to make guns work how they worked back then, which was not well, or are they going to make them super slick? And
super slick, 100%.
Yeah.
You have to. I mean, it's not a fun game if that's not the case. And
I want revolutionary single-shot muskets, man.
But I think the problem that all these pundits have with their like optimism towards this is nobody likes a Battlefield game when it comes out. Like, the
exactly.
only people who play Battlefield games are the people who are diehard Battlefield players. And
I thought Hardline did pretty well.
Yeah, that's not a Battlefield game.
Well, I mean, it's not made by... Who made that again?
I don't know.
Nintendo.
Namco Bandai.
I'll look it up for you guys. You carry on.
It will be forgotten. Like, hey, remember when Battlefield 4 came out and there was that awesome trailer of those dudes shooting that rocket off that city skyscraper and then it collapsed and you're like, "Wow, the future is now video games." And then it was completely forgotten because it's the same like game that they always make and it's just really tedious and team driven and nobody plays on a team and it sucks.
Visceral.
Cool.
Visceral was the company that made it. I just wanted to cut in and be an asshole.
No, that's fine. I didn't know that Visceral was still around. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I'm still around. Were they previously Neversoft?
No.
No. Okay.
They were previously, I want to say, the developers of Dante's Inferno?
Oh, really?
Possibly.
Oh. Anyway. Well, yeah. I mean, you're probably right, Griff. I just like that it... I appreciate on because I think shooters that take themselves seriously are dumb. I appreciate that. I feel like there are two ways you could read that. It was like, it's either it is being like jingoistic and like, yeah, fuck yeah, war, or like, it's just being ridiculous. And I chose to read it the second way, and I was like, this is amazing. This is so dumb, and I love it. But
I'm
it won't
agnostic.
Be that. Yeah, it won't be that. It'll just be a shooter, and it'll be dumb. But hey, I appreciate whatever art team put that nonsense together. There's a cape. There's a fucking cape, man.
It just makes me sad, because it's like, man, I guess dudes yelling is just in the same way that dudes yelling is like the most successful icon image for app store apps for the like phones, like man standing tall aiming down or looking down on box art is still gonna be just how box art always
but
is.
But he's holding a fucking mace and he has a cape.
It's not a mace, dude.
Stupid gun.
It's one of those potato mashy grenades.
Oh, fuck that then.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to hit somebody with it. He's going to stick it on a horse or something.
All right, fine.
No. I think it is a mace. Because Austin Walker was talking about how that's like an actual weapon that they used to have, like for in the trenches. Like you would bash someone's head in with your little spiky club mace.
All right, I'm back on board. This
All
game's
right,
the best.
Fine. If Austin Walker says it,
fuck
then
off,
it
Chris.
Is so.
I don't know. I guess you it sounds like you, Griffin, read it as just like samey, the worst dumb art. But for me, I cannot help but love just how stupid it is. I fucking, oh man. Anyway, I won't go crazy with that anymore.
Or let's talk about how Nintendo's dying again. How about that?
No!
Jeff, I had your reaction to this trailer, to the new Call of Duty trailer that everyone seems to hate. But I was like, yes.
Oh, I like
oh,
that.
I love the new Call of Duty trailer.
Yeah, I don't know why people were pooping on that. It looked super fun.
Yeah, it
looks like space shoot 'em up. Like, yep. I don't know. I love. I don't know if people are just cooling on like Gundam style spaceships and orbital platforms and robots, and it's like, oh, did Infinity Ward with Titanfall kind of push it, and Advanced Warfare push it too much in that direction? The world wants to go back to the old-timey, and they're like, no, I don't. I think that looks incredible.
Yeah.
I want robot friend that's going to hang out with me and be my co-op buddy. I want sweet, weird guns that do things I don't even understand. Like, I want
Agreed.
Spaceship battles. Like, I want Halo not in the Halo universe.
I don't think this game will necessarily be that, but I'm excited at the potential of that. So,
and I definitely do not have any interest in Call of Duty Modern Warfare HD.
Yeah, fuck that. That I mean, it's a good idea, I guess. It's just funny, because how long ago did that game come out?
But I want to say, how about 2007?
Yeah,
no,
not that long.
That might not be true. Maybe 2008.
Not that
or
long.
Or 2010.
It's just weird when you have your annualized franchise and you just... Here's one of the ones we released a little while ago, except it looks a little better.
Yeah.
It's just funny to me.
Yeah. It's the nostalgia machine, so whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't care about the Assassin's Creed trailer. It doesn't look terrible. I haven't watched it yet.
The movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good.
All right. I'm going to watch it.
There's hope.
There is hope. Isn't it 12 Years a Slave guy, isn't it?
Fassbender?
Isn't it? Fassbender, yeah.
Yeah. He
That's
sure is.
Quite a casting right there. Hey, do you guys want to talk about Disney Infinity for a little bit, or no?
I will talk about it for 3 minutes.
3 minutes. There you go, Griff.
Well, I don't want to talk about it.
This is why news will never work. Griff's just like, fuck that.
I mean, you got 3 minutes. Go. If you got something to say, Jeff, you just do it.
Toys to Life bubble bursting? Question mark?
Is this you're just trying to figure out a way to talk about Amiibo and how successful Nintendo is, isn't it?
Walt Disney was born on December 5th, 1901 in Hermosa, Chicago, Illinois. He was an American entrepreneur, animator, voice actor, and film producer. A pioneer in the American animation. Okay.
It caught me by surprise. I didn't see it coming, I gotta say. It was just kind of like... I feel like it came out of nowhere. Did anyone know that Disney Infinity was not doing well?
Well, okay, so listening to other reports, it's not that it wasn't doing well. It just wasn't doing well enough. It wasn't profitable enough.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's a shitty reason to shut down a studio, man.
I mean, it is. It's a bummer on that regard because it's not like the studio wasn't... The game wasn't successful. It wasn't doing well. It's just, from all reports, they overproduce toys, and it's complicated to get that model figured out. But instead of, like, the Amiibo route of underproducing and creating scarcity, whether by accident or not, and then producing more at a later date, they went in bigger, faster, and quicker. And then also, I guess, because Disney, there's a lot of, like, oh, God, animosity. Not animosity, but just different, like, fiefdoms. So you've got, like, I think the one thing that was most notable was the Yondu character from Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, well, we have to give Michael Rooker an action figure, even though nobody's going to buy this. It's like, we have to make Baymax. We have to make Donald. We have to make Luke Skywalker. Like, they essentially can't say no to any part of the Disney universe. So it's like, once you crack into one area of, like, the Disney world, you have to just keep saying yes to everybody, because it's not fair if you say no.
I won't rest until I get my Apu. I could just put in my unmentionable zones.
I want to get the Sultan from Aladdin with Boner included. Or was that?
Oh, no, that was Little Mermaid from Little Mermaid King. Yeah,
yeah.
Boner and his own daughter.
Make me an amiibo that says sex backwards in dust.
Limited edition gold version.
Yeah.
In the last
15 seconds, I want to say it's interesting that Disney is now poised to no longer develop or really publish, but to send out to option out the licenses to a lot of other companies. So hopefully that means we'll see more stuff.
That would be nice.
All right.
Excuse me.
What do we got now?
Griff, I'm going to let you choose because I don't want you to poo-poo it.
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of stuff on this list I don't care about, so why don't you pick next?
Who, me?
Yeah.
All right,
fine. Except for Nintendo rumors.
God damn it. Hey, how about Xbox rumors?
Can we do one more story?
Yeah.
Sure. Jamie, you can choose.
I don't have a computer.
Let's talk about the Xbox.
Let's talk about Pokemon.
All right, fine. We'll talk about non-speculative things, you bastard.
Hey, we'll talk about that in a moment. But no, take it away. Talk about the Pokemans.
Hey, that Firecat's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jamie, which Pokemon are you choosing?
The not the Firecat, because fuck cats. But I love how they got rid of the you don't move on a grid now.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that.
It does, yeah. I think it looks super awkward. It looks like Pokemon is a teenager right now. Because the characters are weird heights and the world looks really ugly. It's nice that they finally did away with that.
I did not have that reaction. I was more excited looking at the towns and stuff than I have. I mean, I'm not a huge Pokemon fan. But I've always wanted them to change it up to try and court new fans. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they're doing that.
Another game for current existing devices. Interesting, huh?
That's what they do over there in Pokemon Land.
Yeah, so the game's coming out November 18, 2016 in North America. Screw the other locations. The three starters were listed, and then some locations, and like Jamie said, it was no longer grid-based. So get hype for Pokemon. The legendaries were also displayed, too.
Yes.
So.
And people, I said, the new too edgy thing to do is to not only compare them to Digimon, but also compare them to League of Legends characters.
And I'm okay with that.
Yep, I don't care at all.
I'm also debating whether or not to play Rowlet, the grass type, because I do really like that character design. I think it's going to be one of those things where I'm going to have to cheat and look at the end result and see which one ends up growing up and be the coolest one. So I'm excited to relive the 2000 and... Jeez, was it 14?
I think it was 13.
13?
I think so. For X and Y?
Yeah.
Yeah, because 14 was Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. 15, they skipped.
Okay.
I believe.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm ready for that feeling again to, like, have the leaking Pokemon pictures come out and be like, oh, man, that guy looks so cool. I'd be so excited to play it. I'm hyped for this game.
I'm hoping that I won't... I won't see them all before I play the game, and B, there won't be, like, 60 of them. There'll actually be, like, 100 of them.
After you mentioned that there might be less than, say, 30 new Pokemon, I'm a little bummed by that prospect, but I'm just going
to
stay hopeful.
I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. Yeah, I don't think they could be that stupid, but, you know, Nintendo and its various affiliated companies, you know, they have the potential to surprise me in the negative. And it is eternal, so we shall see.
Yep.
Hey, we're at an hour 30. Do you guys just? It sounds like you guys might be fading a little bit. Do you just want to cut it and we can talk about rumor shit some other time?
Well, I was actually gonna. That I think is a good segue into the end of this podcast, and that is, we'll save the rumors because rumors are dumb, and
there was a.
And we'll address them in a podcast that will be primarily E3 prediction focused.
Okay.
So maybe we can put that aside, and next time we meet up, I'm putting together a document to kind of standardize our prediction process for E3, and then maybe you can throw your nonsense in there.
Well, that's in our sister podcast, Boss Barrels, Rumors, Late Nights.
That's going to be, you guys are going to be recording that one live at the Summit Diner, right? That's the one you're doing out there? Where I'm not allowed to come in.
because of one restraining order. Only that waitress would quit, I could come back.
Oh, I thought it was just because I don't have a black card.
It has total shit food, but it all costs hundreds of dollars.
That, I think, wraps up all the major points for this last month. Thank you guys for talking and keeping everything salient and moving. So excellent work, everybody. Round of applause. High fives.
Yeah. I'm proud of us.
Can anybody come up with a thing to bet on that is measurable for our next time, before our next time to meet? And we can lay our bets out right here.
What's happening between now and a month from now?
No.
A week from now. Let's bet on... Oh, no, I can't do that because I have an interest in that bet.
What game is... Is there a game coming out next week? We could bet on review scores.
Well, let's see here. I can look this up. Somebody wants to talk about stuff.
I was going to say, you guys should bet on whether or not I buy Overwatch before I see Jamie. Just bet on Jeff's bad purchasing decisions.
Let's bet... I have something. No, this would be too long. I was going to say we could bet on how long I play Overwatch 4, but that wouldn't be for next week, hopefully.
No, I think bet against yourself. That's weird.
Well, here's the thing. If he plays Overwatch, like if he plays it more, he's just to up his score and get closer to his numbers. He's just hurting himself. I'd be cool with betting on Jamie's Overwatch playtime.
Yeah, but then what does Jamie get to bet on?
His Overwatch playtime.
All right.
I trust this man.
Let me do a quick look and see.
There's nothing of interest coming out next week. But, oh, shit, now that I think about it, looking at the schedule, Mirror's Edge comes out on June 7 or 8, ooh, that Tuesday, which is E3.
Well, right before.
I mean, E3 is that Monday into Tuesday, Wednesday, potentially Thursday?
It's like the 11th or the 12th or something that it happens.
Oh.
Well, that's when the first press conferences are, yeah. And then the actual event, okay. I think, is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or something.
You're absolutely right. I was off a week.
Yeah, yeah. So we could bet on Mirror's Edge. I'd be cool with that. The results might come in straight away, but I'd be cool to throw down.
All right. Yeah, let's do this in Metacritic, okay?
We're Metacriticing it? Okay, that's a good place to start. We can get more creative later if you want. But, Griffin, do you have something else?
Nope, I think that's perfect. Okay. Mirror's Edge Metacritic score by... the next time we all meet. So we'll just look it up live at that point.
I'm gonna throw down a number.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 78. Bam.
That's good.
81.
I was going to say 76, but I want to go. Wow, I want to go lower.
So yeah,
I'm going to say 68.
60, holy, whoa.
Actually, I'm going to go 69.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Well, fuck, I'm between a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah.
I've never betted first again.
All right, they're locked. Dealers. Everybody's locked in our votes. Stay tuned. Keep listening. And again, thank you, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Griffin.
And this has been Boss Barrel Radio. We'll see you soon.
Stay tuned after the cast.
Next week.
For some smooth jazz.
Rumors. Jazz rumors.
Jazz and
it's about the rumors you don't talk about.
Nintendo NX. What kind of architecture is he using?
I'm ending this right now.
Bye.
Bye.